This is Vermont Edition. I'm Steve Zinn for Jane Lindholm. Well, a good portion of today's program involves some old-school products and ideas with some very new twists. And we're going to start with cardboard, which has actually been around since the early 1800s. But a couple of Vermonters who've been working with cardboard for a while now have come up with a novel use of the old packaging material. They're building cardboard pinball machines. And that's just one interesting aspect of this story that we'll ask them about. You might be familiar with their work. If you have your own questions, feel free to call us at 1-800-639-2211. We're talking about Ben Matchstick and Pete Talbot, the creators of Pinbox 3000 and the founders of Cardboard Tech Institute. Gentlemen, thanks for joining us today.
It's wonderful to be here.
Thank you.
So you have a great video, which I've watched, which gives a great sense of what this machine looks like and how it works. But since it's radio, and I think some people are going to have a hard time getting their head around this idea of a cardboard pinball machine, Ben, maybe you could describe it for us.
Well, we started from the bottom up and used our abilities at bending cardboard and using a laser cutter to prototype this machine. We never really started with a box. We started with engineering. And there were no 3D programs when we created this, so we just kind of used our hand and eye skill that we've been using over the last 10 years when we work with cardboard. And we put together a, 2 foot by 14 foot, very sturdy.
14 foot?
14 foot, did I say? 14 inch. In my mind, it's 14 feet because I've been staring at it. But it's all rubber band powered and gravity fed. We've imported the gravity from Antarctica where it's finest and pure. And it's got a nice grade to it. All the pinball players, when we take it to the convention, say this plays very well, and you can hit all your shots like a normal pinball machine. You can call your shots. You can customize it. Each game comes with two interchangeable play fields that you can switch out. So it is a system of play. The play fields act like cartridges. So this is the Xbox of cardboard. And it's trying to encourage our communities to get back to tinkering on this little micro level. And we've found that it's easily adapted to all kinds of crafts and small technologies and broken toys and what have you. And that video you mentioned is on Kickstarter right now. So that's our campaign.
And you mentioned that pinball aficionados say, oh, yeah, it works like the real thing. But we're not talking about something like a regular pinball machine that's constantly making noise and lighting up and all that kind of, accompanying sound and visual that goes with a pinball machine.
You have to make your own noises. You have to, so you make your own noises. This is the whole fun of it, is there's no prescripted way to play it. There's no, it's not just tap and swipe. Over here, you have to kind of install your own obstacles. And, we kind of think of it as a pointless machine. So we have these sequential objectives that we like to encourage people to make. Once first you do this, then you do this. And then soon enough, you find yourself going, ba-doo, 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 and just adding your own kind of inspiration and theatricality every time you play. We're puppeteers. We came into this world through puppetry, and this is kind of like self-motivated puppetry. And the puppeteers just get to stand back and, pare their fingernails and watch people gravitationally push this little marble around, and it's super addicting.
So there's a lot of room for the user to use his or her imagination in this. And from what I gathered from the video, the user is the one who has to assemble this, too. It takes about 45 minutes, maybe 39, I think, separate parts, it said. And once it's assembled, then, and you've kind of alluded to this a little bit, you can integrate things that aren't, that are go beyond the 39 parts, anything practically, into the pinball machine. So maybe explain that a little bit, Pete.
Yeah, you can pretty much integrate all the rest of the parts that in the world. So you could have, organic. You'd have we put stones into a game, and they've made these nice little clink, clink, clink noises as the marbles hit them. You can add microprocessors, and you can actually put your own sounds, program your own sounds into the game if you want to get really technical or simple with it. Simplicity is up to you. So you can really get into it. We found that everyday items that you maybe would view as recycling or something that didn't have a value after they've been used, like a paper towel tube. You can snip it and put it into the game, and then it creates these amazing the marbles fly off of it and create these incredible motions. So it gives new life to everything.
Is this something that, you know, is there an age group it's directed at? Is it not going to work so well for kids under 10 as it would for older people?
Well, I've done workshops with kindergartners where we kind of punch all the parts out together and we talk as we build it. And it's like doing a magic show. You know, you put all this stuff together and just looks like nothing. It looks like nothing and suddenly starts taking three-dimensional form. And then before you know it, you're adding rubber bands and the kids just start to, like, spark up. And you know, we found that just having this, like, tactile machine that they can really – you can really pound this thing. And I think, you know, that is a level of play that, you know, is often not encouraged when we give – kids a toy, they can really whack on this thing, and it could go the distance. We've seen it.
Really? We have, even though it's made of cardboard?
Oh, we've engineered it. And when we did our prototypes, I was running an after-school program in Montpelier, and we just threw all our prototypes on the floor. And when the parents showed up, they said, he's being so rough. They're being so rough. And I'm like, no, this is great. We're getting getting great feedback from this. And so we actually added a part called the Crush Protector, which is inspired by our work with the after-school kids. We've been working with cardboard long enough. We pick up a box, you know, on the side of the road, and Pete and I will just stop dead in our tracks and say, "Look at this."
The folds are so nice.
Yeah, the folds, the way it's using its rigidity.
The locking system.
Well, Ben, you've been talking a little about it as kind of a learning tool. Just to, you know, expand, if you would, a little bit about what people are learning. Are we just learning how to put something together? What else are people learning as they use these machines?
Well, of course, there's a great initiative happening right now around STEAM or STEM education. We like to put the A back in the science, technology, engineering, arts, and mathematics. So we start with the engineering and putting it together, of course, and then you kind of gradually move into the arts. We did a great workshop here in Burlington with Edmonds Elementary where they built the systems of the human body in pinball. And so it was great because we got to hear these little discussions groups about how to translate biological information into mechanical information. And before we knew it, our neurons were pinging with all this information about all the great discussions you can have around what is essentially what we've created is a problem-solving, problem-generating machine. So you make every time you add something, you maybe solve one problem, but you've created three more.
How many of these machines, or how available are these machines at this point?
So we've initially done a run of 2,000 for our beta test, and we got a lot of feedback from the people that have got those and played with those, and we're sold out of that. Of any available pin boxes right now, but the only way to get them is through our Kickstarter right now that's active. So if you go to pinbox3000.com or Kickstarter, which is a crowdfunding platform,
right.
It helps us to raise money for this next round of production and to buy the dies and the tooling needed. And then you can find our current Kickstarter on that. And
I think you're trying to raise, $95,000?
It's
quite a lot of money, but that's what we need to get U.S. production. And once we have that, then, you know, we're really motivated to bring it into schools. And so we want to make a lot of great deals for educators so they can get a whole classroom pack and sync it up with our curriculum ideas.
If you reach that Kickstarter goal, does that basically set you up to mass produce these?
It really does, and we could really, like, you know, throw a switch and then have, you know, almost as many as we need.
And where are you going to do this, in central Vermont?
Unfortunately, there's not a lot of companies around here that can do this kind of work, so we are working very closely in Philadelphia. This is a company called Weber in Philly, and they're doing a great job. They're, you know, of course, it's a very outside of the box, if I may say, type of project, and they've just been very amenable. We're also working with a branding firm down there that is generously donating a lot of their time and putting things back into the educational outreach that we have. Mm-hmm. So there'll be some schools that will get, you know, pin boxes at the end through them. It's great.
Are pin boxes just the beginning? Are there other ideas that you're working on?
Yeah, so this is our first kind of product. Usually Ben and I are the product. We're the puppeteers, you know, walking the 13-foot-tall AT-AT puppet, you know, down the mm-hmm. make fair. But the next step is we really want to create a place that people can visit. You know, our website is going to have a lot of resources about what you can do with cardboard, trying to, you know, bring cardboard into people's vision as something that you can create with. And it's not just this cast off, you know, my thing came in this and now I'm just going to put this in the recycling bin. It has so many uses and it's an incredible resource. So we want to help people.
Is that where the Cardboard Tech Institute comes in?
Yeah. Well, yes, we're going to get back to our roots. When I started CTI 10 years ago, we had a little free school where we would use cardboard to teach all manners of things. So we'd like to get back into, you know, we're kind of a funny educational encouragement of, you know, peaceful negotiations with, you know, being engaged in play. And that is really what we're after, is everyone just kind of playing with their environments and playing with each other. And, you know, this a play is really where we come in. You know, we think as men in our society, we just need more people to just kind of stop what they're doing and just sit down together and agree to some kind of narrative constructed environment that has peaceful negotiations happening all the time, and it's all around play. And so we feel like this is our kind of a mission. It's been our 10-year mission to kind of get people to just engage with each other, to engage with their environment, to see waste in a different way, interrupt the plastic and Disney-fied structure that has been put in place for us.
We're talking to Pete Talbot and Ben Matstick. We have them for a few more minutes. If there's something you've heard that's brought a question to mind about what they're making or the ideas behind what they're doing, then feel free to call us at 1-800-639-2211. You mentioned the maker movement. So for those not familiar, how does this fit in with it?
The maker movement it's kind of like, it's so exciting. It's so many things. We've kind of tapped into it with the Pinbox, you know, providing this platform for people to easily start creating. Of course, people have been making, you know, their own pegboard pinball games, you know, when they're young, and I made cardboard games when I was a little kid too. And but this kind of provides a jumping off point.
There's all this new technology that's emerged with 3D printing and mm-hmm. and drones and laser cutting and other rapid prototyping.
It's interesting that, you know, you're talking about kind of a, you know, a product that's been around and we consider basically unusable once we take out whatever's been in the box. And yet there's a high-tech element to it with 3D printers and, you know, there's technology enables you to do what you're doing.
Right. Well, we encourage people to come out to the Champlain Maker Faire this weekend so they can get their hands on the Pinbox and see for themselves.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for mentioning that. So is there a scoring mechanism on these Pinboxes?
Yeah, you just drag your knife against the thing and you fold it and you score it.
What is each of yours high score?
Well, like I said, we talked about this early on, that pinball machines are kind of ridiculous because when gamers talk about them, they say, well, I got 500 million points, not really a good score. but we like to think of it kind of as we approach our approach is like through the maker, the making of it. So we have these sequential objectives that we try to encourage people, like, first you do this, you lock the ball, then you got to free the ball
out,
then you get multi-ball,
and then
you fill up this little target. And so I think that helps kids and makers of all types kind of think of these different avenues and paths to get a successful game or any project off the ground.
Well, it's been a lot of fun and really interesting talking to you both. Thanks very much.
Thank you
so much.
Ben T. Matstick and Pete Talbot, creators of Pinbox 3000 and founders of the Cardboard Tech Institute. You can find links to the Institute on our Vermont Edition page at vpr.net. And if you have any comments about what you've heard Ben and Pete say, then you can add them there as well.